I was gonna do both. Yeah. I'll do one sitting straight up. Welcome to the Vibe Podcast. Welcome back. Jimmy Smith is on the show with me today. Welcome back, Jimmy. I want to continue our discussion, talk a little bit more about your career. But first, I wanted to talk about the evolution of the fighting sports. If you go back 20 years.
Since the Ultimate Fighter 2004 is like kind of, okay, to a lot of people, like the modern era of the UFC is the Ultimate Fighter on Spike.
Why do you think the show was so successful on TV? Do you think it was because of the influence of WWE being so huge? Because at least in my life, wrestling was very big at that point. Maybe it was just me. I think it's still very big, but I think now it's more accepted that it's, you know, you determined who's going to win.
It isn't the dork label it used to be.
How times have changed.
There used to be a big, like, argument. It was almost like lip syncing in the late 90s, early 2000s, like, they're lip syncing, they're not really singing. And then it was kind of the same thing with wrestling, like, this is all fake. And other people would be like, it's not fake, it's all real.
Right. In the 80s, they would often sort of like call out the wrestler for being fake, and then he'd like beat him up or some shit, right?
When I was with the WWE, the stories I heard about the old days when, you know, if you were seen with the person you were supposed to be fighting, you know, oh no, it's a big story when I was a kid. How old are you? You got to be my age-ish.
How what's your age?
I'm 45.
I'll take it.
I love how you're self-conscious about it. So I'm 45. So it was not in the 80s. It was not a joke. They kept it 100% until basically the late 90s. It started falling apart with just the internet and people getting more connected. And then the theater of what's going on is so much more acceptable to people.
Right. That's the way they approach it, right? It still requires a great deal of athleticism, and it's a real
Except
sport.
Except I saw people do things. And, granted, once again, I'm in my mid-40s. That would break every bone in my body.
Speaking of training, what was your routine when you were fighting?
Had my diet, woke up, did my cardio in the morning. So run, I would say 4 or 5 miles, right? And then... Then I would start training, usually like 1 to 3 o'clock-ish, go home, rest at night, go back to do my grappling from 6 to maybe 8:30, so maybe four hours a day.
So you get up, go for your run, do the weight training, and I assume the weight training is an important component here, right?
Everything we did, so I was very lucky, my boxing coach was a personal trainer. And so everything we do is like explosive stuff. It wasn't how much can I lift. It was how fast can you get the weight off your chest to the, like, how fast can I get it up?
I used to be a personal trainer back when I was in college, and that's how I used to train as well. We would do both. It depends on what your goals are, but there's like functional strength and then there's explosive strength. So it makes sense in this type of fighting, you'd want that explosive strength.
We had to do this medicine ball thing that, like, thinking about it is making me sick. We had this big medicine ball, and we would squat and fling it as far as we could over our heads. So this big explosive jump, and it could only bounce once. You had to turn around and sprint and get to it, and it could only, if it bounced more than once, you had to do it. Like they
Thinking
would add
about
it
this
on.
Is making me very happy because I used to make people
yeah,
do that
and it
exact
was
thing.
It was awful and I hated it, and a lot of like box jumps and explosive stuff to
So it's almost the opposite, because, you know, the bodybuilders, they say they use good form, but there's a lot of sort of, you know, leverage.
Any
right?
muscle that Mechanical. I'm that doesn't help me fight is wasted. That is an ounce I don't need on my body.
Okay, so that's still true. Don't get too bulky. Don't get too big in the wrong places.
Classic. Heavyweight's 265. Brock had to cut a decent amount of weight to make 265. That's
yeah, he's a very, very large human. I think he actually started as in the NFL.
He started.
Or that was his
goal. He started as an amateur wrestler at the University of Minnesota. He was a national champion, runner-up his junior year. Trust me, I know the whole thing. And then he went straight to WWE. And while he was in the WWE, he had a tryout with the Minnesota Vikings and didn't make the tryout. But when you think about what kind of freak you have to be to even, hey, I'm going to try out for the Vikings, and didn't get cut the first day, it's absurd, with no real football background. He was an amateur wrestler. That was his thing. When I saw him wrestle amateur at Minnesota for the Gophers, and he went to WWE, I remember thinking, God, I'd love to see him in fighting. So I'm sorry he went that way. And he ended up coming back to fighting. And that's what people don't get. People didn't see him wrestle as an amateur, thought he was a pro wrestler jumping in. I was like, no. He can really wrestle in an amateur actual way. You know what I mean? He wouldn't make the Olympic team, but he was that national champion, which is a lot. So yeah, he kind of went a circle around to MMA.
Yeah, he was the big star when I was really into WWE. My brother and I went to WrestleMania in LA. We saw, yeah, a lot of, at the time it was like Eddie Guerrero. Rey Mysterio was one of my favorites because of the, I think his move was called the 619.
Nicest guy ever, by the way.
Yeah, and then Eddie Guerrero came out in like a car that had like shocks on it. That was very cool.
low rider.
The hydraulic system that makes a Southern California car.
Are you going to be going to the fight live? Or are you going to be watching it in Vegas? How are you watching it?
I spend all day, every day, talking about fighting. So I work in the fight world 6 days a week.
For you, that's like going into the office.
It's like kind of like going into the office. And yeah. It's more of a headache because enough people know me that it's sometimes it's hard for me to just sit there and watch fight.
Right.
If you want to talk to me, whatever. So it's kind of difficult for me to like be there and actually watch the fight. And then I'm used to commentating. So I'm used to being literally cage side where they're right there in front of me. Any seat is bad compared to that. So generally, I don't go. Yeah, I rarely go to fights live when I'm not working. Yeah.
Maybe I should challenge him to an arm wrestling match.
Yeah.
Did you do arm wrestling?
Because no, that requires a lot of grip strength too. I imagine that's the probably the most important component.
Grip strength, timing, and everybody I know who was like did arm wrestling. It sounds funny. They get really bad tendonitis injuries.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I thought I was taking the low pain route.
Yeah.
Relative to being punched in the face, yeah, repeatedly.
Yes. You didn't ask, but because you're considering it. You ready? You okay? You'll be all right.
Something's going to be detached.
There
snap
you go.
His leg.
Cool, great. So, it was a fight I was calling in Bellator, and Bellator had finished. The event itself had finished, and there were some like post-limb fights that were on after the show. So I just sat there and was watching just because I was already there. This guy was fighting, who was a really good grappler, really good jiu-jitsu. And the guy who was fighting was a pretty hard puncher. And the puncher hit the guy in the jaw. And he goes down, and the guy chokes him, and the guy just taps. And I went, wow, that was a quick tap for a guy who's really good at jiu-jitsu. Like, I thought he'd fight it a little bit longer. And he sat up, and the punch had broken both sides of his jaw, and it was like that. Like, he looked like Predator with like 2 mouths. Both sides had broken, and it was just hanging here.
I want to do the Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Damn. And it took me a second to go, what? I didn't know what I was looking at. I was like, what happened?
Your brain's like not registering.
Oh, he broke both sides of his jaw. And the guy, they took him in the back, obviously, and got him medical attention. But one of the guys showed me the x-ray, and it was like a bag of Tic Tacs. Because his teeth were all just, they just fall out. And so he was hanging by the skin of his jaw. And so anybody who gets into the fight business, I always tell them,
be prepared to break both sides of your jaw.
Be prepared for whatever bad thing happens to you.
Just show them that x-ray. Be prepared.
Yeah. Are you ready for the x-ray? No.